Chapter 12. Tia climbed down the tower using the servants' stairs, just a little screw you to her tail. The stairs themselves were clogged enough with servants and slaves and discipuli that there wasn't much purpose to it other than inconveniencing him and giving herself time to think. She went to the main floor and across to the other stairs and went down farther still. Commander Fisk had given her an idea. In a few minutes, she was at the dungeon. Few people were kept here except a couple of drafters immediately before Sunday. Those who'd broken the halo would be put in rooms of colours safe to them, or blackened rooms for polychromes. With Sunday just past, there should be no one here, except whoever was going to be executed tomorrow. Two of Carver Black's tower soldiers were stationed in front of a heavy oaken door. As Tia approached, they stood respectfully. The tower soldiers had always had reasonably good relationships with the Black Guards, but with the influx of Andros Gile's Light Guards, whom they hated, they now treated the Black Guards like dear friends. "You're holding the accused for execution tomorrow?" Tia asked.
"Yes, sir,"
the elder tower soldier said. He was long past his prime, stiff knees and lots of experience. He wasn't being rude at the sight of a petite young girl who, to another tower soldier, might look like the epitome of how far the Black Guard's standards had fallen. Quite the opposite, in fact. Through a quirk of protocol, tower soldiers always addressed Black Guards as Sir, regardless of gender. Apparently it had originated with some gaffe or deliberate insult involving a particularly manly archer. The Black Guards had turned it back on the tower soldiers, demanding that every one of them be called Sir. When Tia had complained to Quentin that language was weird, he had speculated that it was perhaps analogous to how all magisters were called magisters, regardless of gender, rather than magistri and magistrae, while the declensions of the nouns for their pupils were retained as discipula, discipulus, discipulae, and discipuli, while a mixed group of girls and boys went by the feminine plural discipulae. As Quentin had explained to Tia,
"Language isn't weird. People are weird. Language makes sense until people get their phoneme pukers on it."
Tia had no idea what that meant, but she got the gist. The younger man looked at his officer, obviously unaware of the protocol.
Later, the old man said. "How can we help you?"
"I need to interview them," Tia said.
They looked ready to say no.
"I'm on the execution detail tomorrow, and they're not telling us anything," Tia said. "I've got to ascertain in what respects they may present dangers to the assemblage."
With soldiers, you spoke bureaucratese. They'd assume you'd been assigned to do it. All the bullshit orders come dressed in jargon. If you just said what you wanted, they knew it was your own idea. She switched back to her own tone.
"You know what happens if something goes wrong during the execution. It's on us. With all that's gone on recently, the Black Guard ain't taken another hit."
The older soldier looked as if she were asking the impossible, and he hated to say no.
"Look," Tia said, "I'm not even a full blackguard. I'm doing my vigil tonight. I've just been on duty, and after holding vigil all night, my first official detail is watching what everyone tells me is a horrific way to die. Orholm's glare is the death they scare drafters with from the moment we first learn we can draft. The blackguards stretch thin to breaking, and it's all made worse by those light guard assholes running my friends off as if they're traitors. I know this isn't the normal way of doing things, but what's been normal about anything recently? You can take all my weapons, do whatever you need. I just need to talk to them so someone can check it off a list. And I'm not going to have my first official act be lying to my commander by telling him I did it if I didn't. But I don't want to start my service by failing a simple assignment either. Can you cut me some slack?"
Momentarily, Tia was kind of impressed with her own lying.
"Not many Black Guards would let us take their weapons. Your lot tend to hold that privilege pretty fierce,"
the older man said. It was a singular right. Black Guards were allowed weapons in the presence of satraps and diplomats and colours and the Prism himself. It set them apart from everyone else, not least the Tower Guards like these men. Tia quirked a grin.
"Hey, if you ask me tomorrow when I'm a real Black Guard, I might not give them up so easy."
They laughed together, and Tia put her weapons on the table. The old man moved to unlock the door.
"Hard not getting arm's reach of that false prophet. I know you have training and all, but madness gives them strength. The young Luxiat mostly sits there and cries, but madness, you never know. Last one's the drafter. Watch them vipers. No offence. Oh, shoes."
"Shoes?" she asked.
"You have to take off your boots. Put on these."
Tia hadn't noticed, but there were slippers of various sizes on a mat. She stepped into the appropriately sized pair. The door opened onto the strangest prison Tyr had ever imagined. All the surfaces were lined with mirror. Orange lux torches provided a single dim spectrum of soft light. The older soldier accompanied her down the shimmery hall. Even the floor was mirrored, the slippers polishing the pounded silver with every step. They approached the first door and the soldier handed Tyr a mirror mounted on a handle. It demonstrated how she should use the mirror to peek around the corner to see any threat. Then after she'd put the spectacles on, he handed her a tiny knife with an oversized handle. The blade wasn't even as long as her little finger was wide.
"Hellstone," he said to her puzzled look, "if they somehow draft, drains out their lux in without killing them. Works on you too, though, so don't let them take it from you. Oh, and if they capture you, our orders are to go in with muskets firing. We don't try to recover hostages. They know it. It's not a bluff. We've done it before."
"Great, thanks."
He left and she heard the door being barred behind her. She opened the window inset in the door of the first cell. She extended the mirror and was surprised that she knew the man therein. She closed the window. It was the Colour Prince's prophet, the spy handler she and the Mighty had surveilled months ago. He'd tried to kill Big Leo. It wouldn't bother her to see him executed, or to leave a peril tag on him for assassination. Good option, maybe. She walked down the mirrored hall farther, little slippers scuffing a floor that really should have been cleaner. Man. It was as if they were physically blind to messes unless you pointed them out specifically. "Is this floor clean?" "Yes, sir." "Do you see this dirt?" "Yes, sir." "Did you see it before when you just told me it was clean?" "No, sir." Tyr opened the next cell's window, peered in with a little angled mirror, and paused. The young man inside had his head down, ignoring the sound of the opening window. He was a disheveled mess. But there was something familiar about him, too. Or Hollum have mercy.
"Quentin?"
Tyr asked. He froze up, and it was an admission of guilt. A moment later, his head snapped up.
"No,"
he said.
"No, no!"
"Quentin, what are you doing here?"
Tyr asked. She unlocked his door and stepped inside. Tyr was petite, though stronger than many would guess now. But if there was one man from whom she had nothing to fear, it was Quentin. He was skinny, to the point that it was painful to look at him. He so often forgot to eat while studying. He probably weighed less than she did. He was a brilliant mind, though, a polymath who mastered subjects within months that took others a full career. He read scrolls and books within hours and remembered nearly everything he read. His was the kind of scholarly mind that came along once in a generation, if it was a great generation.
"Quentin, what's going on?"
she asked. His cell was a cube with mirror walls and floor, and a luminous orange ceiling that gave a sickly hue to the boy's skin. He looked at her with such shame that she thought he was going to throw up.
"They found me," he said. "They never gave up."
"Who, what?"
she asked.
"I didn't even know her name when I did it," he said.
"What?"
"It was supposed to be Kip," he said. "I didn't know him or any of you then. It was before I'd met you."
"Quentin, what the hell are you talking about?"
"But I knew. When he gave me the orders to do it, I knew it was wrong."
"What did you do, Quentin?"
He looked up at her as if he couldn't believe she didn't already know.
"I tried to kill Kip. Lucia stepped in the line of fire. I didn't mean to hit her. But I did try to murder him, so it doesn't really count as an accident, does it?"
"No,"
Tyr said, aghast. Quentin had become their friend. Twitchy, nervous, and scared a lot. But they'd written that off to his having the lopsided brain of a genius.
"It was why I swore an oath to Kip that I'd never lie to him. I was hoping he'd ask one day. But he never did, and then he left, and I thought maybe Orholm had forgiven me. But then the blackguards came. They'd never given up on finding who'd killed her. I was hoping they wouldn't take me alive."
"You?
You shot Lucia?"
Tyr had barely seen the hooded figure raise the musket. In her dreams it had always been some monster, someone eminently capable, some assassin whose bullet had been intercepted through Orholm's will alone. Not a scared kid. Never Quentin.
"It was pathetic how easily they turned me. A little bit of threatening, a little bit of bribery, that's all it took. I knew it was wrong, Tyr. They're going to execute me, and I deserve it."
"Who sent you?"
The orange light in here was making Tyr feel as slippery as the old man of the desert himself.
"Hyluxiat Toleb. I told the White as much, but he's sworn it's a lie, of course, and what is my word against his? I've no evidence.
It was true, Tia could tell. There was no guile in Quentin's voice or gaze. Tia hadn't been friends with Lucia. She could tell early on that Lucia wasn't going to make the cut to become a blackguard. Why make friends with someone who wasn't going to be around long? It was practical, but also somehow heartless. Quentin, I came down here hoping to find a solution for a dilemma. Seems I have. She tagged Quentin with a parol marker for the assassin.
What dilemma? Quentin asked. What do you mean?
But this murderer wasn't entitled to an explanation. Tia left.